tables, if you will. Have a seat. Have a seat. And wow, girls, that was impressive. The Lord's good, isn't he? How many have those situations that you have prayed for years that they would change or something would? Well, I know I do. I got those. And if you don't have them, then you probably are 4 years old. And anybody past that, you have those situations that that we have. Brother Jenkins wanted to be a blessing to everybody, so he'll be giving all these away. And so they're on finances, family, and faith. And so I'm going to add one. It'll be my life failure. And so if you could add that to that right there, that'd be great. But I tell you, we're bringing Anchor into the 21st century. We are. And I got my ear mic. You've got your smartphone now, right? And Brother Jenkins, you got the socks. And so he'll be changing the batteries afterwards. And so, but I'd rather see my mother drunk than you wear those kind of socks. Yeah, I've seen my mother drunk. And no, I'm kidding. And John chapter 10 is not where we're going to stay, just where we're going to kind of step through. And John chapter 10, and I'm going to get right into the message. And, of course, thank you, Brother Bell, for everything. And Brother Jordan, where'd you go, Jordan? Where'd you go? Right there. And Brother Jordan, last year when I was here, his mama and Miss Bell ganged up on me, and they were like, Brother Gray, Brother Bob, not Brother Gray, Brother Bob, you got to find us a woman, and for Jordan. And I saw standing there last year at Faith Harbor, gave me one, and standing there at Faith Harbor, I didn't do that. Did you see? Pointing at Gabe, and never mind. This was easy. That would be hard. And anyways, last year I said, look, Mom, Miss Bell, Mom and Mom, I don't know of anybody. And right in the middle of me saying that, it was like, yes, I do. I know somebody. And the very next week or the week after the next month, I was going to Austin, Texas to preach. And there's a beautiful, you'll meet her. There's just a beautiful family down there that you're talking about top-notch grade A, almost said beef, but that's grade A. I mean, just bad Bob. And and I was like, yes. Yeah. So I went down there, I was preaching, and her name's Felicia, and beautiful, beautiful girl, beautiful family. And so I approached the pastor, and we picked him up from the airport, or the assistant pastor. I said, Ben, we got to start a Ben and Bob dating service because we got to get this done. And so we were there, and so I talked to Dad, talked to Mom, and talked to the pastor, the powers that be, and I said, look, I don't usually interfere and play Cupid because I don't dress that way, but let me tell you something. And the pastor said, what kind of guy? And I said, oh, grade A beef from Ohio. And I was like, I'm telling you, you won't get any better. And if you don't snatch this kid up, some blind girl's going to get him. And we got to get this done. And so I guess they exchanged numbers, whatever the case may be. And when y'all talked on the phone for the first time, how long did you talk? Hour and a half. So she's coming up. Have you been down there? Yes. Look at that look on his face. You see that? That. He got that. Yes, I have. And when she comes up here, I'm excited for Anchor to get to meet her. And so we're standing over there talking. And the only thing Brother Manning hears me say is, man, what about getting married? And Brother Manning's going, okay, are you and him having this conversation? It's like, no, it's not a marriage proposal. But I'm excited. I better shut up. I have no idea why I said that. John chapter 10, verse 10, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that our ears have heard and our heart has felt. And Lord, there is no doubt. There is no doubt. That, Lord, we're nothing but a bunch of leftovers and I think we doubt sometimes your potential. We doubt what you can do. You created this whole thing in 6 days. You've taken little things. You've just done some amazing things. And Lord, you can do it in our life. Help us to that sermon to rest inside of our hearts, inside of our minds. And may you tattoo it on who we are, that we walk out of here. It's just not something we learn, but it has become who we are. And Lord, I pray that you bless now. Give me your grace and your mind in the next 20, 25 minutes to get across what you want. And Lord, I pray that you bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whenever they hear 20, 25 minutes, their mind goes, oh yeah. Always remember this. That's a preacher's ploy to get you to listen. Anyways, but John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now make your way to Hebrews, if you will. Go to the book of Hebrews. Always remember this. The devil does not want you to have a quality of life. He doesn't want you to have a spiritual quality of life. And he's always setting out to do those three things. He's always setting out to kill, to steal, to kill, and then to destroy. If he can get that done, then he has accomplished what he has set out to accomplish. Ultimately, the devil hates God. You are made in the image of God, and therefore, if he can destroy your relationship with the Lord, he's going to do it. He will use a lot of tools to get that done. He will use a lot of venues to get that done, and a lot of circumstances, and a lot of events to get that done. As you've made your way to the book of Hebrews, I want you to land in chapter 12. We're going to talk specifically about one subject. I'm not sure that it's been discussed, this subject, this year in totality. It may have been hit in parts and pieces. And if I'm overlapping anybody else's sermon, I don't know that. I'm just following what the Lord wants done this morning. And Hebrews chapter 12. But the subject of bitterness is something that is always a plague in the Christian life. And by the way, can I tell you something? The older that you become, the more you're going to have to fight this thing of bitterness in your life. Because everybody, like Pastor Bell just said, everybody has an expectation of how they think it ought to go. Anything less than that, and determining how deep it dives, you're going to find yourself having to go, wow, my soul, I do stand that chance of getting bitter. Can I tell you this, and Michelle, I was thinking about you this morning. I almost said something to you at breakfast with you and your dear husband. But when you learn to read the Bible grammatically, then you're about ready to break through to understand it truthfully. The only reason things are taken out of context is because we don't obey the grammar of the Bible. And I think that for a long time now, I have diagrammed portions of the Bible to give it a deeper truth. Sometimes we get lost in a thought and we think it says something, but not until you understand it grammatically. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 through verse 17, truly through verse number 16. And as we read this, I want you to let it unfold in your mind like an onion, if you will, like something that has layers on it that we're trying to get down to where it needs to be. And look at verse number 14 through verse number 16. You're going to find out that grammatically the verses are connected with, at the end of verse 14, with a colon, and at the end of verse 15 with a semicolon, and then it ends up with a period at the very end. For you to read one verse and let it stand on its own is not doing justice to the thought God wanted. In other words, when he makes a statement here in verse number 14, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, colon, what he's saying is, I need to elaborate just a little bit more on what I just said. Then he jumps into verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled, semicolon. Now he says, now I need to take that thought and I kind of need to expand on it a little bit deeper. Thus he goes to verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright, period. Those three verses carry with it a path, if you will, to where somebody ultimately destroys their life. If you and I could ever figure out that nobody here, and if you could ever come to the conclusion, which everybody has, I don't want to destroy my life. I don't want to end up in destruction. Everybody that you have seen that ends up in physical destruction or seen destruction, it always starts with the unseen in the spirit. Some of you in this room are already two-thirds down the path to destruction. We just won't see it for another year. Some people are, we won't see it for another 2 years. All of us know people that have ended up ruining their life that at one time they were a pillar in who we were and who we are. And they were just the pillar, the fabric of our life. Only to find out, how did they end up there? How in the world did they get there and arrive there? Well, I think this set of verses gives us some insight. And I'm going to preach on this subject, the beginning of bitterness. The beginning of bitterness. In fact, let's go through it if you don't mind. And we're going to start in verse 15. And we are going to work our way back, if you don't mind. And then we're going to include verse 16 in this. There are four stages to the beginning of bitterness. We're going to go to the very fourth stage. I want you to write down this word, defilement. Look what it says there in verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be what? Defiled. Listen to me very closely. The end of bitterness is defilement. It is when things are contaminated in your life. It is when things are polluted in your life. It would be like the Columbus sewer breaking open. Or if you've ever had a plumbing backup in your house to where the sewer started backing up in your house, and all of a sudden you smelled it, then you saw it, then you walked in it. You ever been there? You smelt it, you saw it, and then you walked in it. That's what defilement is. In fact, if you'll notice, you say, well, just how bad can defilement get? How, when you talk about defilement, Brother Bob, what do you mean how bad can this get? Well, it's grammatically expounded on for us in verse number 16. You say, well, how bad can it get? Look at it. Lest there be any what? Fornicator or what? Profane person. Then he wraps it up in one as who? Esau. As Esau. Now he's not giving us Esau because he was a fornicator or he was a profane person, but he is telling us I know who to bring out as an illustration of how quick this can happen. Esau. Look what it says, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You see, we think we have time to judge the slippery slope of bitterness and defilement and that we have the time to stay away from it. It's like getting caught in a riptide. It's like getting caught on the side of a muddy bank. It's like losing your footing. You Yankees will understand this. It's like losing your footing on an icy walkway. All of a sudden, you're standing strong and tall, and then all of a sudden, whoop, you're on your rear end, and you're looking up at life going, good night, how did this happen? One, number two, didn't anybody see me fall so I can keep my dignity? And there are a lot of people living a fornicator's life and a profane life, and they're wondering, how in the world did I get here? It happens that quick. That's why the Bible says you better take heed lest ye what? Fall. And if you're sitting here right now thinking that you can entertain injustices in your life and that you can kind of set them in the corner and be justified with the injustices and let them linger in your life and it will never bring about defilement, my friend, you're dealing with faulty plumbing in your life and it's not going to go well. Because the Bible says that you can end up being defiled, and how deep will the defilement go? It will go to the point of an immoral lifestyle, and it will go to the point of a disrespect. That's what profane is. Profane means I no longer have respect. I no longer give credence. I now make fun of. Listen to me. When you meet somebody who's living that out of control, immoral, or the Bible puts in the New Testament, riotous living, when they're living that way, you always remember this. That is the end of a bitter person. That is the end of someone who let bitterness in their life and take root. That defilement. And some of you right now are flirting with a fornicating, profane lifestyle that's just 18 months away because right now you think that you can get close enough to the slippery slope without falling into it, but you will wake up and lose it all. Did you hear that? You will lose it all. And that's what it says. The fourth and the end is defilement. The third, and for the sake of time, look at verse number 15. The second word I want you to write down is root. Or root. It all depends where you're from. How do they say in Kentucky? Root. 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 And root. And I don't care what you call it, it's below the ground. Here we go. So the first word you tell me is the word what? Defilement. What is it? It's the word what? Defilement. Do you find yourself watching immorality more? Do you find yourself more with a cynical attitude about life and about those? Better be careful. The next word I told you right now was what? The word root. Look at verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any what? Root of bitterness. Now that root is very interesting. There are people who bitterness has become part of their spiritual DNA, and it just comes out in conversations. It comes out in joking. It comes out. They can't carry on a conversation without it just coming out in a word, without it coming out in a joke, without it coming out. But at some point in the conversation, they're going to air what it is that they're upset about. They cannot carry on a conversation without it becoming part of who they are. In fact, if you'll go to Deuteronomy 29:18, would you write that down? This phrase, root of bitterness, is taken from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse number 18. Now I'm headed somewhere because honestly, the last point is if where we need to fight the battle, not here. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Everything I've just told you about somebody becoming a fornicator and somebody living in an immoral lifestyle and somebody being disrespectful and there's nothing sacred anymore. And by the way, can I tell you something? This building has been set apart as the place we come talk about the Lord. I don't think you need to disrespect it. I really don't. And can I just tell you, I get a little bit weary of people men coming in from work in their shorts when they've been off for an hour and a half. Boy, never let that be named in the house of God. Brother, when you go into the house of God, it's time to get dressed up to go to the house of God. And that's what we do. That's why I don't think I'll let your kids swing from the chandeliers and run the pews and stuff. Let them do it at your house, but don't let them do it at the house of God. And we've lost that respect. You know, I met somebody the other day that left our church probably 20 years ago. And they said, how's Bob doing? And I was like, I'm doing pretty good. He said, no, you know what I mean, Big Bob. And I said, are you talking about my father? He said, yeah. And I said, well, I'll tell you right now, why don't you go ask him? He lives on Kentucky Street. Go ring the doorbell and ask how Big Bob's doing. He'll show you how Big Bob's doing. But you ever notice people that are out of control, they're living that but you don't fight the battle here, but you need to know that it's a root. Look at Deuteronomy 29:18. Lest there be any among you, man or woman or family or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth what? Gall and what? Wormwood. So listen to me. That root of that DNA, although it comes out in a little sarcastic joke. Well, you know how pastor is. Well, you know. Well, wasn't that good music this morning, but you know how that third singer from the left was. You know, God used it in spite of, oh, you listen to me. Oh, we've got the best nurseries in the world. Well, you know, except when, oh, hold it. Do I smell a little hemlock in you? Do I taste a little almond? You're arsenicking things up. Do I kind of see a little hair falling out? Not you, sir. I didn't mean to pick on you way in the back there. And do I see a lot of hair falling out? And let me tell you something. When it gets to that point, it starts coming out. And it's like that. In fact, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 34. And I found this to be very interesting. And you'll find this. I didn't know if you know this. You probably do. Look at Matthew chapter 27. In verse number 34, you'll find this to be very interesting. Christ is on the cross. Look at this. Yeah. They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with what? Gall. And when he tasted thereof, he would not what? Drink. With criminals on the cross, they would give this as a narcotic to lessen the pain. So when they tried to give Jesus our narcotic to where he wouldn't be aware of the pain, guess what he said? Oh, no. I'm not taking that because that's laced with gall and that's laced with that wormwood. And listen to me, when I die for man's kind, I don't want to be knocked out. I want to be totally aware of the pain I'm suffering on the cross for. And let me tell you something. When people are in the root of bitterness, they are living an immoral lifestyle. And they are living a profane lifestyle, but they're so doped up They don't even realize how they're living. We see it. You ever met somebody that's a little bit high in prescription painkillers? They got that wide-eyed in their look, and they got that. And you're sitting there going, do you not even realize how you look? And we see it, but they don't see it. Want to know why? Because they're doped up. And that's why preaching has no effect on people with bitterness. When it's gone to that level, you want to know why? Because they're not getting it. That's why you can stand and you can preach all you want to preach. I can preach all I want to preach. But if somebody, it has gone to the root level. You got to get off the drugs before the scripture will ever help you. And that's why we wonder why some people can. Let me tell you something. I carry a gun. I have a concealed handgun license. Praise God for the Second Amendment. It don't bother me none. In fact, I'm thinking about putting one in the pulpit after they killed that priest over there in the other country. Let me tell you something. I'm going to put a Gatling gun. Amen. And approach the pulpit. I'll kill 10 deacons and the guy. But, you know, they tell us that if you're high on meth and you break into a house, a .38's not going to stop you. Because you won't feel the pain. The only thing that stops a criminal is they feel the pain, the impact. And you know, it's very interesting, Brother Jenkins, that we're trying to preach people out of bitterness that we can't. Why is our sermons not working? Because you're doped up on it. That's why he told us it's gall. It's what they used to give criminals on the cross to lessen the pain. And that's why Jesus said, I'm not drinking that. So let's keep going. Boy, I feel like we're making it. Ouch. So the first word I gave you was what? Defilement. The second word was rut. Rut. I thought that was funny. Rude. The third word, bitterness. Bitterness. It's fine. It's interesting here. So we're trying to decide, where do we fight this battle? You say, well Brother Bob, I don't want to live an immoral and an disrespectful lifestyle. Brother Bob, I don't even want to get to the point to where something's taken root in my life to where I can't even, I'm doped up spiritually where I can't even respond and it comes out in everything that I do. I don't want to live that way. Then we got to go all the way back to bitterness. Look at it. That's the root of what? Bitterness. Do you know what that is? That's ill will. Can we just define it to those two words? Ill will. Ill will comes when something doesn't go your way. Right. Now please listen to me. It's very interesting that when you study the word bitterness, if you go back and kind of trace it, there's one word that is in the definition of bitterness when you start looking at the Greek and everything. It's the word pierce. And I thought to myself, why would the word pierce even be associated with ill will? And then it dawned on me, if you let it stay long enough, it will pierce through the thin layer of what you don't want to be, and that's when it starts taking root. Listen to me, if you don't quickly clear ill will out of your life on a consistent, daily, moment by moment, event by event, person by person, refuse to let anything that doesn't go your way sit in your life. Get it out. Identify it. Realize that you can identify, and I'm blowing backwards here, realize that you have the ability to identify, listen to this, potential bitterness. Everybody I talk to, every place I go, I'm always looking. If something said that, then I'm like, whoa, time out. I don't think that's right. I must very quickly get the Windex and get the thing and go, shh, no, I'm not letting that lay in my life. Amen. Walked in the house the other day and I've been gone for a week at camp. We were gone for a week at camp. Kelly went, RG went with me. And before we left for camp, somebody had bought me some salmon. So like an idiot, I said, well, I'm going to eat that salmon on Sunday before we leave for camp. So I wrapped in a nice napkin and kind of left in the refrigerator. Well, I didn't want anybody eating the salmon, so I kind of slid it to the back of the refrigerator. A week has gone by. The refrigerator has not been opened in a week. We get home, and I come in about an hour after Kelly did, and so I go, I am thirsty for some sweet tea. Now, Talking about leftovers, that tea had been sitting for a week that she made. It's sweet enough you could stand a spoon up in it, and it just kind of stands there. And I thought, I'm going to get me a big glass of sweet tea. I opened that refrigerator, and oh, so it was like, I shut it. Jordan comes walking through the house 3 hours later and goes, what is that smell? And I was like, you know that salmon? No. I said, son, part of being father of the house is you take it out. Can I tell you something? When you let things set, listen to this, and then you just shove it to the back of your life, and you're like, well, that was no big deal. Oh, my friend, if you had to say it was no big deal, then it's a big deal. Now I'm going backwards. I'm going from the bottom, working my way up. You say, well, I don't want to live a defiled lifestyle to where I'm immoral and I am profaning everything and disrespectful. And definitely, Brother Bob, I don't want to be doped up on this stuff to where it's taken root in my life. And now that root has produced a narcotic spiritually to where I really can outlast anybody. I can stay awake longer than anybody else and I feel no pain. And I don't want to be that. I don't want to be unsensitive. And Brother Bob, I definitely realize the value of taking care of things right away. Look at the next word I want you to write down is grace, is the word grace. Look what it says there in verse number 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the what? Grace of God. Now, it didn't say the grace of God failed you. The grace of God does not fail you. You fail the grace of God. Do you know what the grace of God and walking in the grace of God, and if I could just put it this way, that is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your relationship with being saved. I think a lot of times we get past the day we got saved. Amen. You don't ever get past the day you got saved. The day you got saved ought to be so fresh in your mind that you're living in forgiveness and you're living in that grace and you're living in that newfound relationship with Jesus Christ. I like what Brother Jenkins said, to quote himself. I like what Brother Jenkins said, that you and I ought to be so living in that forgiveness that we're just right there. Let me tell you something. How do you get to a defiled, profane life and it happens to you quick? You don't even realize how it happened. It's because you're doped up on the root of bitterness to where nothing can get through to you because you're so high. Because you don't take care of the injustices right away. Well, what doesn't allow you to recognize the injustices? It's when you fail the grace of God. You see, as long as I'm walking close to the Lord, then I'm very discerning that would be bitterness. Let's get rid of that. That has a potential way of being bitterness. Let's get rid of that. That's why I think it's very wise. Never loan money. Just give it away. Amen. Just give it away. If somebody said, hey, can I take a loan out? Nope, but I'll give you the money. You want to know why? Because I recognize that is a potential of becoming a bitterness in my life. Who gives me that heads up? God gives me that heads up. When a man does not walk with the Lord, he becomes dumb. When a man does not spend time with the Lord, he spiritually becomes undiscerning right now. Hopefully you can discern that you can't fly. Hopefully you have discerned that the older you get, the bigger gun that you need. Because you can't run quick enough to get away from danger. Hopefully there's discernment to say, well, yes, I could spend my paycheck on that. But if I spend my paycheck on that, I won't have money for my future, for my bills. So I must save my money. But when somebody's not walking with the grace of God, they truly are going, well, you know, I'll just take everything that comes my way. Rather than taking the attitude, the prudent man foreseeth the evil, and he does what to himself? He hides himself. There's a lot of things that I have avoided as bitterness in my life because I've been smart enough to say, I think I'll step out of that highway, and I think I'll let those people do what they want to do. Because I know if I get involved in that, it's going to bring about bitterness in my life. When I fail the grace of God, then that means I'm trying to do it on myself, handle all the injustices. And then when they sit in my life, then they pierce through who I am, and then it becomes a narcotic in my life, and then all of a sudden I find myself living such an out-of-control, profane life, disrespectful life, and I got there quick. I am amazed at people that got there so quick. I mean, quick. I mean, it was just like yesterday we were at camp together. It was just like yesterday we were singing the prayer. Just like yesterday we were working the bus routes together. How'd they get there so quick? And now every time you talk to them, it's laced. It's laced in every conversation, every little statement. It's coming out. What's going on in their life? I don't want to fight the battle here. I don't want to fight the battle at the narcotic stage. I don't want to fight the battle at the injustices in my life. Listen to me. When you grammatically study this, and you probably have beat me there, I don't want to deal with it when it's at the grace of God. I want to keep everything where it needs to be. What is the very first phrase in this set of verses? Follow what? With all men. Do you know where I'm going to fight bitterness at? I'm going to fight it to where I'm always at peace with men. Do you know how you keep out of the epitaph that was given to Esau? In fact, look at this. Look at this, because you can get to a level. Look at verse 17. Now, where the period ends the thought for 14, 15, and 16, 17 stands on its own, and it gives us the headstone of what was written, the prologue of what was written. Look at this. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with what? Tears. Let me tell you something. You'll wake up after the profane, immoral lifestyle, and you'll wish you could get it back. But you won't. All the bridges you burned, all the trust you trashed, you'll never get back. So I have decided that I'm going to follow God's word in the very first admonition so I don't have to deal with the rest of it. Follow peace with all men. You know what that means? Look right up here. When my relationship with the people around me is broken, I am going to go extend peace. I am not going to let broken relationships around me exist, because I know once they exist, that it's a downward step from there. The other day, I thought to myself, in fact, I go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23, and I'll end with this statement, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23. Matthew 5, 23. I'm not only dealing with maybe some things I have against people, and by the way, you need to get that out of your heart, but there's a whole nother level of this to where I don't want bitterness in who I am. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 23. Matthew 5, 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has what? Aught against you. Or you could put it this way. If you're there at the altar worshiping the Lord, trying to do your best, and it's brought to your attention that somebody has something against you, then look what the Bible says. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Can I tell you honestly that when you and I master the art of when we know that somebody's not at peace with us. I asked a couple of people, where can I get an olive branch? Because, you know, the olive branch is the universal symbol of I want to make peace. I'm here to extend peace. It's called extending the olive branch. The other day, I felt like I needed to make a visit. So I went to the home of a couple in our church that are members, and they're elderly, and I felt like the Lord said, okay, to keep yourself from getting into the gall of bitterness and getting to a defiled life, you better start by making peace. I knew this was the sermon God had me to preach a couple weeks ago, a month ago. But I didn't realize the Lord was going to put me to the test of what I was about to preach. So I went and knocked on the door. A gentleman came to the door, and he made a smart crack at the very first. And I just simply said, you know, I'm just here to see. So I walked in the house and I went to where the lady was and we chit-chatted for a little bit. And I was taking the olive branch and I wanted to extend, because I felt like I had heard that there was somewhat against me. And so I extended the olive branch and it went well with the lady before I left. because she was elderly in different circumstances. I reached out and gave her a hug and said, I love you. And Kelly and I love you. And went to the gentleman and went to give him a hug. And he stuck his hand out and he said, I think that's as far as this will go. And I simply shook his hand and I said, I love you. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. I make peace secondarily for the relationship, primarily to keep bitterness out of my life. I make peace secondarily for the relationship, primarily to keep bitterness out of my life. You see, it's not my job to restore the relationship. It's my job to keep the bitterness out. Too much rides on. Listen to me. Too much rides on. God has been too good to me. God has been too good to me. That for there just to be this, then I've got to be smart enough to know this. If I'm not at peace, or at least tried to make peace, I'm not trying to make peace primarily to restore the relationship. I'm trying to make peace to obey Hebrews chapter 12 so that I don't end up in an immoral, profane lifestyle to where I have to wake up and seek restoration, but I can't get it. I got to start here. I'm going to ask you something. I know it's the lunch hour. But what's not at peace? What's not at peace? Because if you don't fight that battle here, there comes a point to where you'll be so doped up, you can't fight the battle. Because you're not even aware of it. And that's why I want to keep from becoming a spiritual drug addict and a spiritual doper to where I know I've got to take care of it here. If I thought right now that Brother Jenkins and I at any time I was not at peace with you, then you would be getting a phone call from me, if not a visit from me. Because I have to make sure everybody in my life, and so here's my prayer. You know the best place to find out if there is no peace? Is at the altar. And honest, Lord, does anybody have aught against me? Am I not at peace with someone? And Lord, if I'm not at peace with someone, then I'm going to go make it right primarily so I do not become a bitter person. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're so good to us as to give us your word in timely fashion and in timely order. Lord, it was settled in heaven long before we ever showed up on the scene. God, please help us this morning with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a skeptic. I'm an optimist, and I'm a firm believer that there's a reason why God has so chosen for this to be preached. Because you may not be at peace. For the sake of your family and not being defiled, I think you just need to make it right. Maybe sometime this day and sometime this week, maybe you need to formulate a plan. But I truly think, for the sake of getting to a point you can't return from, then I think you just need to take care of it. I'm going to ask the pianist to play. As she plays, if the Lord's spoken to your heart, why don't you come? Don't come because it's ritualistic. Don't come because it's expected. But if the Lord has spoken to your heart, you need to come. You need to come. The olive branch primarily is so I can go on and serve the Lord. Not to restore that relationship. I'm only one side of any given relationship that I have. I must keep my heart clean. I must keep my heart pure. But I know I cannot afford for bitterness to enter into my life.